What is going on, beautiful people of Nashville, Middle Tennessee, wherever it is that you're streaming or watching 104.5 The Zone. Welcome in on this Wednesday afternoon. We appreciate you guys spending your time here with us from 10 to 1 each and every weekday, whether that's here on FM radio, whether that's live streaming on the app, whether that's on the website, the Facebook page where you can watch on Facebook Live. You can also watch the show on YouTube and Twitch. Everywhere that you guys are able to interact with us, we are available to you at your earliest convenience. 615-737-1045 is the number. If you would like to do it old-fashioned, do it the old way. I like to talk to people. It's just me and Lucas in here for 3 hours every day. We love to talk to people. So if you want to give us a call, we appreciate that as well. We've been talking about the Titans draft concerns. The concerns with the Titans heading into the draft, concerns with the Titans draft process, and not everybody has concerns, right? I think for the most part, people trust John Robinson. Rightfully so. John Robinson has done substantial good for this organization since being hired here in 2016. There is no question about it. But obviously, you have the specter of last year hanging over your head. Now, it shouldn't be that way. In the same way that, you know, when a corner gets burned, what does the coach tell you? Tell the player. Next play. Turn the page.
Short memory.
All the cliches. That's how it should be heading from year to year in the draft process, from season to season. That's how it should go down. But some of you have concerns, and hopefully we can address them over the course of this morning. We're going to get to a don't press send situation that happened to the Raiders and some interesting social media stuff that was put out by a former Preds social media manager. We'll spend some time on that. Remember, Will Compton joins us for his weekly segment in the noon hour as well. In the meantime, we've been letting you guys interact with the show. 615-737-1045. We go to Jordan, who has been waiting patiently in Atlanta this morning. What's going on, Jordan?
Hey, how's it going this morning, fellas?
It's going great.
Just had a couple quick comments. The caller earlier who was talking about the he smelled Kevin Dodd written all over the Barmore potential. I don't necessarily see it. I think the thing that lacked with Kevin Dodd was his absolute, you know, desire to actually play football at the next level. Barmore not being a starter, you know, for the majority of his career at Alabama doesn't really bother me, just knowing what all they have across that line. Also means he's got pressure legs, kind of similar to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, we had, Jordan, I'm sorry, we had to cut you off there, brother. Your phone line is horrendous. Just, that was funny, the way it kind of sounded like his voice was trailing, but the crackling stayed there.
It sounded like he had a good point.
He was just sinking into the radio sports caller C. But Jordan makes some good points, right? You can't, this is the thing, the point that I made with Don Davenport earlier this week on 3HL, where I was saying, do not let what happened with Isaiah Wilson color your opinions of what the first round pick of the Tennessee Titans could or should be this coming year. It just doesn't make sense to do. So for the people who were assigning, say, and I forget who the caller was, but called in and said, you know, Christian Barmore has a lot of the Kevin Dodd stuff around him, a lot of similarities, a lot of parallels to be drawn. I mean, you could probably do that for 50 players in this draft, right? But the overemphasis, the hyper-focus on the first-round draft pick as if your team cannot get better. And I feel like I've said this so often, but it bears repeating this time of year many, many more times. I'll say it as often as people are willing to listen to me, and I hope people are willing to listen to me for a long time because it's how I pay my mortgage. But your team can get better in the second, basically from the second to the fifth round, your team can substantially improve. Sixth-round picks, seventh-round picks, a little bit, you know, they're like not likely to make the roster, basically. But your team can improve in rounds 2, 3, 4, 5 dramatically. Look at the fifth round picks for John Robinson, Tajay Sharp, Jayon Brown. LaShawn Sims was not as impactful as a player, but found ways to contribute when they needed him to contribute. That matters too. We'll see what to make of Dane Cruikshank, that it's mostly looks like special teams right now, although there will be the opportunity to start at safety or at least contribute as a third safety. Given that Kenny Vaccaro is no longer on the roster and Amani Hooker looks like he would be in the best position to take that over, remains to be seen. John Robinson does a good job at addressing the draft in the rounds that can get, also help you get your football team better, not just the first round. By the way, listen to 104.5 The Zone for the latest news and the best coverage of the NFL draft. 104.5 The Zone's draft coverage is sponsored by our friends at Two Rivers Ford. Two Rivers Ford, powered by Ford, driven by people. 615-737-1045. Man, Pete has been hanging out with us for a minute. I want to make sure we get to him. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, man? I appreciate you taking my call.
No question.
So here's the deal with me. First of all, in J-Rob, I trust, man. I'm just, you know, that's going to tell you the whole tone of my conversation right there. One of my concerns is, I guess, with the draft, if I have to pick one, is that Christian Barmore is there at 22 and we don't pick him. And I understand people's concerns about, oh, my God, he wasn't a starter, dude. Whatever, man. The guy had 8 sacks last year.
Monster.
Okay? 8 sacks. That's impressive. I don't care who you are. That's impressive, especially for a guy who's on that line. So, you have a line with possibly Big Jeff, Autry, Barmore, and then you have Landry and freaking Bud Dupree coming off that, you know, off that edge, man. It's going to make our cornerback situation better. It's going to make our safety situation better. Everything is going to get better when you can actually get to the quarterback and not have this guy sit back there for 5, even 7 seconds. I counted one time last year. 7 seconds Matt Stafford had in the pocket.
Oh, my God. I know the exact play you're talking about, Pete. We were sitting in the press box at Nissan Stadium watching Matt Stafford have all the time in the world. Is that – I can't remember. Did he – was that the play that he threw the no-look touchdown pass on?
Yes. Yes, it was. I was there at Nissan.
It was unbelievable.
I counted how long he had. 7 seconds. So that can never happen again. So that's my biggest concern, man. I think with the writings on the wall with Jones, Daquan Jones signing with the Panthers, that we're going to go hopefully defensive tackle or nose tackle for this pick, guys. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you for taking my call, Buck.
Hey, appreciate you waiting, Pete. Thanks. Our callers are the best, honestly. 615-737-1045. Man, I could see the Stafford play in my head because I watched it back so many times. It's like that play that they had earlier in the season against Cincinnati where there are like 6 dudes diving at Joe Burrow's legs and nobody brings him down for the sack. He rushes for a gain. It was infuriating.
I think the only sack of that game wasn't actually a sack, and I think it was actually Daquan Jones, but it was a drop snap, right, that Stafford picked it up on the hop and then got smothered by Jones.
Oh,
but that didn't even count as a sack because
no,
it was a drop snap.
It's even the pressures that they got, it couldn't count for sacks. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation, man. My concerns are not with John Robinson as a talent evaluator. My concerns are I don't know where the process has failed for them specifically. I may never know. We may never know. They're never going to tell us. Why would they? But for people whose salaries rely on the success or the failures of these NFL draft prospects, there is so much there to look at and say, okay, I understand what this situation is. I understand what the needs of my team are. I have to be willing to put the trust in this particular person. It's not like John Robinson, if he drafts a defensive lineman in the first round, is actively trying to not improve your team. We played you the audio from Dane Brugler earlier in the show where he's talking about most GMs are forward thinking. Like the free agency plan, right? It's not just about this year's offseason. It's about the next 2 years on top of that because you have to be forward thinking. Your salary cap demands that you be. So don't get caught up in needs versus who is sitting there at the position. At 22 overall, if that is indeed where they end up selecting, I want them to take the best player overall if I'm a Titans fan. 615-737-1045. We go to Tony quickly in Lebanon before we get to this Titans statement on what they're doing or not doing for voluntary in-season workouts. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, you know, I really don't think that going defensive tackle in the first round is the route they need to go. Honestly, if if we're going to look at something at defensive tackle, I really wish that they would at least kick the tires on Sheldon Richardson.
Where are they getting the money? Where are they getting the money, Tony?
Restructuring. I mean, they haven't done a lot of restructures so far.
Why?
I mean, they haven't done any, have they?
No, they don't want to. Is it worth creating? Okay, let me ask you this, Tony. Is Kevin Byard worth $15 million this year?
I don't know.
No, I think you know the answer to that question. Thank you for the call. 615-737-1045. Kevin Byard is making $15 million plus this year because of the way that they had to restructure his contract. That's not something that John Robinson wants to do. In fact, that may be the last thing that John Robinson does, and there are plenty of players who would be good candidates for a restructure. By the way, the quarterback chief among them. They can do these things. It's about how much you want a mortgage of your future. We'll continue this conversation, and we'll get to the Titans statement coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Now, if I think this is what I think it is, then we need to pay tribute accordingly. Buck Rising here with you on 104.5 The Zone up until 1 o'clock every weekday. Lucas and I from 10 to 1. Today is the 5-year anniversary of the day that we lost Prince. Music, legend, icon, both socially. Just one of the most spectacular performers that ever I saw. Yes, slightly sexually suggestive in the Super Bowl.
Greatest Super Bowl performance of all time.
Okay, so I'm going to show my ignorance in Music City. Like, what is the part of the guitar that you know, your top hand is on? Is there a term?
Neck?
The neck of the guitar? All right, what Prince did to the neck of that guitar? Perhaps not safe for FCC airwaves. Had a good time. Gave it all the run it was worth. But yes, RIP to a great one, a real one, Prince, here on this Wednesday. 615-737-1045. We've been talking a lot about the draft, a lot about your guys' Titans draft concerns. Danny Smiley writes in on Facebook Live, by the way, if you want to hang out with us on Zone TV, you can do so across Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter Live. Is it Twitter Live or is it Periscope? Like, Periscope was supposed to go away in March, yet I still see the Periscope icon.
Technically Periscope, but it's a Twitter platform.
It's just no longer an app unto itself, Periscope?
Suppose Twitter absorbed Periscope.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think, anyway, let's not get bogged down. Anyway, Danny Smiley writes in on Facebook. Great show. 22 overall. Titans have so many positions of need, so pick your best player that's available. In fact, we have been doing that here on 104.5 The Zone. 104.5 The Zone's mock draft is up live and available to all of you. I saw Lucas's pick. I saw Blaine Bishop's pick last night. If you are a Titans fan, take a tour of 104.5 The Zone's 2021 mock draft. Then submit who you think the Tennessee Titans will select in the first round of the draft for a chance to win a prize pack from Chattanooga Whiskey. To enter, go to 1045thezone.com/contest. Very exciting stuff here on The Zone. All right. So this statement that the Titans put out, or the NFLPA put out on behalf of the Titans players, right? This is something that caught a lot of people's attention yesterday because they were joining the ranks of teams who have made statements on voluntary, in-person, off-season workouts. A lot of qualifiers there. So the NFL, this is where it bothered me, okay? Because I'm reading Bleacher Report right now, Tyler Conway. The headline of the article says, Titans players announce they won't participate in voluntary off-season workouts. Wrong. Liam Neeson. Did the Titans players in their statement say that they will not participate in voluntary off-season workouts?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Tyler, why are you lying to me? That is not what was said in the Titans statement. This is where it differentiates from the other teams that have done this. You have seen several teams come out. The Lions, the Buccaneers, the Broncos, the Seahawks, there have been several. I believe the Patriots did the same as well. There are probably some that I'm forgetting at this point. I expect we'll see more. But the difference in what those teams that have come before the Titans yesterday said and what the Titans have said is very, very different. I'm going to read you this statement. This is a segment we like to call reading here on 104.5 The Zone. 615-737-1045 if you would like to jump in. the question that we posed to you guys on Twitter, does the Titans statement on voluntary workouts concern you? Some people wanted to know what the statement was. Well, let me just tell you. Quote, we have come together as a team and have had several conversations about what is best for the players in our locker room. Based on the injury data from the previous year, along with the facts and recommendation provided by our union, here's the kicker, I add parenthetically, we are in solidarity with other players across the NFL who will exercise their right to not attend in-person voluntary workouts. We understand that some players will need to be at our facility for different reasons during this time, and we respect the right of every player afforded to us in our CBA. That's on behalf of the Tennessee Titans players from the NFLPA. Where is the definitiveness in that statement?
It's a very savvy statement.
It's a very, very diplomatic statement. I know both my parents worked in politics and government for 40-plus years. I know good diplomacy when I see it. It's some fence-sitting stuff. And that's okay. It just means that the Titans players are smarter than everybody else that put out definitive ultimatums about what they will and will not do.
I think it signifies a unified locker room, right? Because there is no us against them in any way, shape, or form in that statement.
It says we're going to do what makes the most sense for us. You guys do your thing. We're in solidarity with you, right? They're holding it down for all the other players who choose not to participate. So I did a little digging on this because obviously I wanted to make sure that I understood exactly what I was reading. And basically the response that I got back from asking around for a couple people is saying that if you need treatment, go get treatment. If you live in Nashville and need to work out, then go work out. Everybody else, do your thing. We got you. They're voluntary. Diplomacy. Smart. Don't back yourself into a corner. That's what the Titans statement means. It's not that it doesn't mean anything. It just means like, yeah, we're going to do what makes sense. We're going to do what makes the most sense for us. That is something that other NFL teams have not done. It is a very, very smart move by the Titans. It does not mean that those of you who flooded my mentions immediately after this statement came out, all these spoiled athletes, they need to show up. There's a reason that they won't have team cohesion next year. I shouldn't do the fake Southern accent. That's probably offensive.
You might lose some people.
I mean, it's not. Well, that's the voice that I hear when I read my mention.
In a lot of cases, it's fair.
Yeah, but you know, I don't want to be unfair to people. Okay, like I'm not trying to put everybody in a box. All right, not everybody that listens or tweets about the Titans tweets me about the Titans sounds like that. That's just what I imagine when I'm scrolling through and seeing all the terrible, terrible things people are saying to me, or about other people on the internet because it's a war zone. Every time I open up my phone, that's the voice that I hear in my head. I'm a little scarred. 615-737-1045.
We need to start doing segments of reading through your replies.
What, mean tweets?
In that voice.
No. In that voice, no. We'll definitely lose people. Maybe we can have one of our friends, Will Compton, will be on the show later. Maybe we have Will Compton read some of my mentions, except a lot of the things said to me in my mentions are not something that you can say on the radio. It's not that's like an internet bit. Yeah, where is Will Bowling? Will Bowling is, you know, on bed rest, I hear.
He's not well today.
Okay. And I hope he gets better. I hope that he becomes well soon. But also, can't he do his entirety of his job on his phone? If he's on bed rest, can't he tweet? Can't he do things digitally? Am I going to get an email from HR about this afterwards? Back off. Let him have bed rest. Bed rest. Now I sound like the people in my mentions. What do you mean? Show up for voluntary off-season in-person workouts. How many more qualifiers can I put in front of the workouts? They're voluntary anyway. There's just people making a big deal out of nothing because the news cycle is slow. V-Love tweets, Titans translation, you just do you, I'm going to do me. That's what I'm saying. Let them live. That's what the Titans say statement is saying. We're gonna live our lives. We're living our lives, Lois. Living our lives. 615-737-1045. You know whose life is decidedly more difficult to live right now? Mark Davis. Do you see what happened to the artists formerly known as the Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, yesterday? Dear God, where to even begin? And there's an interesting local tie with this because a former Pred social media manager got out there yesterday on the internet and gave a perspective that I think is really, really unique about what it is like to be in these positions. Now, the George Floyd murder, the situation that resulted last summer, that affected all of us. It transcends politics. Everybody across the world was affected one way or another by that video of George Floyd with a police officer's knee on his neck. You saw the way that I live in North Nashville, okay? There's a lot of people in North, and you know, I'm obviously not a native North Nashvillian. I moved out north a couple of years ago, bought a house. Like, it's a neighborhood that's being that's being gentrified, but it has been a historically black neighborhood in a way that the roots in North Nashville are still very, very strong. Now, I'm not here to speak on behalf of my African-American neighbors, but I was watching my neighborhood and I was watching my television yesterday, and you could hear the sigh of relief when the guilty verdict came down on Derek Chauvin. Across the world, across news, across sports, because this is where it results. And you'll hear from some Titans players on this after Jacob Blake was shot, because this was something that it's been a year, but it's still yesterday. All of the emotions that all of us, what regardless of your belief, regardless of your loyalties, regardless of who you are as a human being. All of us were affected by the events that George Floyd's death murder brought out in us last summer, collectively, societally. But then there are the Las Vegas Raiders. Oh, dear God. The guilty verdict comes down. You see the NFL make a statement. You see professional leagues make a statement. In fact, the Minnesota Vikings, all of this going down largely in the Minneapolis area. You see the Minnesota Vikings out there with a statement first. Very, very well thought out. Rightfully so. Had things gone poorly in Minnesota, I cringe at what potentially could have happened if the verdict was anything but guilty. But across sports, in a way that you have never seen before, this was not happening 2 years ago when police shootings, when African-American people were being gunned down in the streets unfairly, unjustly, because a lot of people were out here on the internet yesterday saying justice, not justice. The work, this is a micro situation that has macro implications, massive implications. It is a starting point. Yesterday was not justice. It was the start of something that we hope societally we will see continue, where people are treated equally. So you see all of these NFL teams, the Titans among them, condemning racism, which is not good on them to condemn racism. It's also not a difficult position to condemn racism, right? But it was a statement that could not get them caught up in the mix like what the Raiders did. The Las Vegas Raiders, from their Twitter account yesterday, and the tweet is no longer pinned to the top of their account, but it's still out there.
Still up.
Still up. As of 11:34 a.m., a day later, nearly 24 hours after this verdict came down, the Las Vegas Raiders still have this tweet up. On their Twitter account, sent late yesterday afternoon, it says, "I can breathe," with the date under it, 4/2021. Now, obviously, the George Floyd line as you heard his last gasps at air with Derek Chauvin's knee on his neck. I can't breathe. More than 20 times. More than 20 times listening. That video, thank God that that 17-year-old girl was there to video that particular instance. Imagine how she feels. So the Raiders get out there with I Can Breathe for 2021. And honestly, I didn't believe what the hell I was looking at. I thought it was a pot joke. I thought they were making some kind of crack about 420, which in itself would have been just tasteless. But the explanation, because Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, obviously grilled about this, absolutely roasted about this, widespread criticism for what he put out on his social media platform. He told ESPN, and I'm reading the report, meant no disrespect to Floyd's family with the tweet that he took the lead from Floyd's brother. Forgive me, I don't want to mispronounce the brother of George Floyd, but I believe it's I don't want to botch the pronunciation. But George Floyd's brother, who said following the verdict, today we are able to breathe again. Mark Davis got out there with I Can Breathe. Imagine how much less damage you would do. That might be the worst, Lucas, that might be the worst tweet I've ever seen. Ever.
Well, you disagreed with me on this in the green room, that I had so much trouble believing that Mark Davis was the one who crafted and sent that tweet. I mean, I know owners are on Twitter, but how many owners are tweeting from the team account? There's whole departments that do that.
And how often do the departments get overrided or overridden, whatever the proper, you know, grammatical phrase is? How often do they get overridden by the people whose accounts that they're running? This is not a personal account. This is not the social media manager's personal account for them to espouse their thoughts. This is the account of a multi-billion dollar company. An NFL team to run a social media account for an NFL team, an MLB team, a league, an organization. That's not your personal Twitter. But if Mark Davis wants the graphic design people to make an I Can Breathe graphic so he can tweet it out because he thinks he's doing the good thing, doing the right thing, instead of stepping all over himself and drawing just even more. Sometimes it's okay not to say anything. And I understand why all of these other NFL organizations, MLB organizations, all of these things want to get out there because they see their counterparts doing it. But if you aren't prepared, don't press send. They were not prepared, and they made themselves look like fools because of it. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in on the conversation. Jason N. Fryer says, come on, Buck, stick to sports. If I want politics, I'll watch the news. Where the hell are you getting politics in this? This is sports. Who are the organizations making the statements? That no longer exists. The Tennessee Titans canceled a practice last year after Jacob Blake got shot. Is that not sports? The Minnesota Vikings statement yesterday after the verdict came down. That not sports? The NFL, the NBA, and the MLB all getting out there. I didn't see a statement from hockey, but honestly, I don't know if they made one or not. I'm not sure. I shouldn't speak recklessly if I don't know. But every other major league in professional sports got out there and said something about this.
Hockey made a statement.
Where is stick to sports? Sports just found themselves in the middle of this stuff. They've inserted themselves into the middle of this stuff. Athletes are realizing that their platforms have the ability to affect change. You want me to stick to sports? Sports is in the middle of all of this. All I'm doing is talking about it. 615-737-1045. We put it out on a poll to try and have a little bit of fun with this. Since I was just so pissed off. So pissed off watching what the Raiders did yesterday. But we asked, what's your worst don't press send moment? And we'll get to some of the calls here in just a second. 615-737-1045. Davey Shepard has tweeted, and accidentally didn't blind CC 500-plus volunteers at my first job in D.C. Just included personal emails of sitting members of Congress and a rack load of operators from three-letter agencies. I got lit up, deservedly so. world-class moron. See, that's not as dramatic, but it's pretty bad. We'll get to our worst don't press send moments here in a second. We'll take your calls as well. 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, goodness. Got a little fired up. It's all right. Good to remind me. Wake me up a little bit. 615-737-1045. Here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. We've been talking about don't press send moments. The Raiders. So, so bad. We've asked you guys what your worst don't press send moment is, whether it be on Twitter, whether it be on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, Twitch TV. We are interacting with you guys everywhere here on 104.5 The Zone. BJFC, Big Jeff Fan Club, has written in. I accidentally sent 1,000 people an email about sweatshirts and sent out a comment about sweat something else that I can't say on FCC air. You can guess. To 1,000 people, the anxiety gave me the actual sweat.
I'd love to know the context, like what movements. What was in the body of that email? What was he talking about regarding sweatshirts?
Yeah, now I'm
there's
scared.
So much there.
I'm scared of the word sweatshirts. I'm wearing one right now. I'm very carefully having to think, process the word sweatshirts. Wade has called in with a don't press send moment about Vanderbilt. Wade in Hendersonville, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? Good to actually talk to you. Follow you on Instagram, Twitter.
For sure.
But yeah, real quick, I'll let you talk about it. But when I was in Vanderbilt, they did a full campaign, like scoreboards, billboards, press kits, everything. And it was, "We don't need your permission." And it was during the actual final time of the rape trial.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, I worked at the school at the time and how much backlash we got. So that was definitely, you know, a group of people sat in the office and decided this is the best thing we're going to do. And they made all the graphics and made all the stuff. And then the firestorm after.
I mean, so. We appreciate the call, Wade. Thank you. I don't understand how that doesn't get picked up on. And like a lot of times like this, what happened last night after the Raiders thing, because, you know, obviously you immediately go to, there are people tasked with running the social media accounts for all these teams, right? You know, maybe you don't know. I don't think I know who runs the Preds one right now, but most people know who runs the Titans social media accounts. And your ire, because oftentimes they have a social media presence, and your ire immediately directs towards the people running these accounts. But what it ignores is sometimes Mark Davis, who's the owner of the team, wants something out there, and you have to comply, because that's not just your boss, that's your boss's boss's boss. I think that when you look at this stuff, you have to consider how many different layers go into this. So this former Pred social media manager got out there yesterday after, because people were dragging the Raiders social media team. And I won't say rightfully so, but like the tweet itself, drag worthy. What was happening though on social media was there was so much hatred being directed at the person who is responsible for running the Raiders social media account. So a woman who formerly ran the Pred social media account, she resigned from the position in December of 2012. Gretchen is her name. I don't know how to pronounce Gretchen's last name. But she put out this tweet, which I thought was important context, because you don't think about who the people are running these accounts, right? And then immediately they're the subject of everybody's hatred when you know you're running the Vandy account and whether it's the athletic staff, whether it's the media relations staff, like they formulate this "we don't need your permission" thing, and you're the one who has to press send on it. So this is what Gretchen wrote yesterday. Now, it should be noted that she has since deleted this tweet. But yesterday she wrote, "Being a social media manager this year almost killed me because of moments like this. Being blamed for things that went out that I had no control over. Statements that were released that I saw for the first time seconds before I was expected to post. I had to explain to a group of white men why we couldn't post on the day of George Floyd's murder. Being forced to remove a post with hashtag Black Lives Matter after being up for 20 minutes and against my very strong argument, told I needed to put it back up without the hashtag. Because the statement we posted after 8 hours of back and forth to get one approved in response to an unarmed black man being shot was supposed to appeal to equality for all minority groups, not just one. It goes on. There's two pages of it. She since deleted the tweet, but, you know, screenshots are forever. And I think that's important to notice. Like, these social media managers are at the whims of their organizations. You know, when I press send on a tweet, it's coming from, well, I can't say it could be coming from Lucas now, right? Lucas could absolutely sabotage me because Lucas basically.
I could bury you. No, but like literally. I would have all plausible deniability. There couldn't be evidence that I'm the one that tweeted it if it came from your account. It's just something to keep in mind. I'm not saying I'm going to do it.
So, I don't know. You sound like you're thinking about it, bud. How many more times am I going to send you scrambling for audio?
I would never.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know. I don't trust you. I saw the way that you hate watched your competitors, the people who bested you.
Define hate watching.
You were hate watching it, okay? Watching it and you were saying these
people. Was it something the way my brow furrowed?
Am I going to betray a confidence if I say what you were saying in the green room? Like, I'm not going to.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's all in good fun.
Okay, now you are. Back away from the microphone, coward. You're on 104.5 The Zone. But yeah, people don't think about the people whose job it is to press send. They just think about the idea that send was pressed. I have had moments like that before. Now, mostly, outside of basically the hours of 9:30 to 1 on weekdays when Lucas runs my Twitter account to make sure, you know, that I can do the rest of my job, which is talking and researching and reading comments and taking phone calls and all these things. Lucas runs my Twitter account for the most part, but 90% of the time, that's my Twitter account. I know what I'm sending. Now, sometimes I make mistakes. Like, Lucas, have you ever, do you delete tweets? Like, if you get something wrong, or if you say something, whether you consider it regrettable, like, are you somebody who deletes their tweets?
Usually that only happens when there's a typo in my tweets, because Twitter doesn't have an edit button.
And, yeah, which is.
Like, I've had that before so many times, where I'll tweet something out, like, oh, I messed that up, delete it, retweet it again, oh, I messed that up, and then do it a third time. Like, I'm really bad about it.
Yeah, I think that can be said for a lot of people. Now, more often than not, I'm thorough, which the percentage needs to be higher, but I'm pretty thorough with what I put out on my personal social media. But sometimes, like, what happened with Darius Leonard? When I misconstrued what Darius Leonard was trying to say, which was a message to younger players coming in the league who were talking so much about their game. And Darius Leonard essentially put out a tweet saying, you know, focus on your grind, focus on yourself. Don't worry about, you know, saying you're the best, just show people, was a paraphrase of the tweet. And when I read it, I was just glancing through, I was scrolling, and I read it as Darius Leonard telling younger athletes to shut up and dribble. Well, that's a totally different thing. It's a totally different conversation. And my response to that at first glance was, well, if you're telling people to shut up and dribble, how am I supposed to, you know, defend against the people who would demand of athletes shut up and dribble? Because I hate that as an argument. I think most people know that about me. But I didn't read his statement correctly. And I got dragged, rightfully so. Now, I don't delete tweets that way. Unless it's information that I've gotten wrong and it's contributing to a false narrative or something like that. Doesn't happen very rarely, but there have been moments when I make a mistake and I, you know, just for the sake of having the best information out there, the most factual information out there, then at that point, if something has happened, then I'll delete a tweet so it doesn't get confused. Now, obviously, just like Gretchen, like, screenshots live forever. But regardless, don't press send. A lot of moments like that on the internet here recently. Just the Raiders. The fact that it's still out there, I mean, do you, I guess. Anyway, in the meantime, we'll continue to do this show. We will do it with Will Compton, who joins us for his Bussin' with Buck segment weekly. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys, still currently free agent linebacker. We'll talk to him about NFL teams making these statements through the union and what the status of his job hunt is, as well as who was on Bussin' with the Boys today. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.